Welcome to the Star Wars Collector Podcast, episode number 139. I am your host, Brian, and with me, as always, are my co-hosts, Carl and Dwayne. Hey, guys.
Hey.
Greetings, everyone.
And this week, we have a special guest. We have Chris Whitlock from Collector Archive Services.
Hey, everyone.
Yes, thanks for coming on.
Awesome to be on. Always fun to be able to come on and talk toys with some Star Wars friends. So thank you for inviting me. I appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem. So we always like to start out with stuff that we've gotten here recently. And since you're our guest, we'll let you go first. You got anything here recently?
Well, you're putting me on the spot. nothing that I can show you. So like the bad news is, right, is when I get things, what do? I send them in to get graded, and then I get put in line. I guess I could tell you about it. So
yeah.
One thing that I purchased, this is back a little bit ago, like January. I go to ICC every year, and one thing that happened to me last year at ICC is I had Warwick Davis sign a Power of the Force card, mint on card figure. And when that happened, I fell in love with the idea of original cast members on vintage card backs, vintage cards. So it's another rabbit hole, right? But we all have them. So yeah. I ended up getting myself a 12-back AC-3PO signed by Anthony Daniels. I'd love to get it in person. I did get him to sign in person for me before. This is before before I started doing the vintage thing. That was it was nice because it's on a 12A card, which you don't get cards very often. And then it's signed. So I don't actually have it here to show off, but I was actually pretty proud of that one.
That's nice.
Yeah.
Anything else?
No. So I obviously am a Star Wars focused collector. I also collect trading cards from time to time. So I'm putting together a vintage baseball card set. And I've been buying some pieces for that. So I have a 1955 Bowman set that I'm putting together in a PSA 7. And the hard part about putting together a vintage baseball card set that's graded is the commons, right? Because, mm-hmm. The Cincinnati's shortstop,
right.
There are a lot of people that get those ones graded. So the pop counts are usually pretty low. So I picked up a couple of singles lately, but for the most part, I've been behaving, I have a lot of shows coming up. So I'm going to be at ICC in June. I'm going to be at Joe Fest in June. I'm going to be at Rebel Scum Con in August. Right. So those are some shows that may have some things that I need to buy, and I'm on a budget just like everybody else. Right. So try to be careful, because you never know what you're going to find at those shows. Oh, one thing I did yesterday. So, Jake Lloyd, the actor that played young Anakin, official picks put out, he's doing a private signing. So I signed up for the private signing for that. So okay. I don't know if I'll ever see him in person. So that was not really fun, because it's just a permission to send in, but it's an autograph I definitely want to add to my collection, one I don't have yet.
Nice.
Yeah.
All right. Carl, what did you get?
Not very much. I got that new Disney Build-A-Droid R4-6DO.
Love it.
He's a pretty cool looking droid. And I think that leaves us, one more to have the set?
One more.
And you can build the droid, the little piece down in there.
And then there was one.
Yeah. And I think last count I had 122 Imperial officers, and I bought another bag of loose Imperial officers. always need more Imperials.
That's You're why, a focused that's why, collector of Imperial officers now.
I guess now that's why Hasbro needs to do it like a HasLab for the Death Star. I'm set with stormtroopers and officers now. But that's all I got this month since the last time we saw.
All right, Dwayne, what'd you get?
I got everything that you got. Looks like. This was a pretty good month for pre-orders to come in. I don't have anything to show and tell in front of the camera, but let's go down the list here. This month, we got the Vintage Collection Imperial Snowtrooper Commander, the Vintage Collection Imperial Remnant AT-AT Driver, the Vintage Collection Greedo, Vintage Collection Poggle the Lesser, the Vintage Collection General Veers, Vintage Collection Mandalorian and Grogu Deluxe figure set, and the Vintage Collection Imperial Remnant Stormtrooper 4-pack. And also, like Carl, got the Droid Factory R4-6DO. Just came in the mail today, actually.
Mine just came in the mail today too, so we got them the same day.
Nice. So how do you guys source those? Do you have somebody at Disney that goes in and buys them, or do you get them off the Disney site?
The Disney site.
Okay.
Yeah, you got to be quick though, because they've pretty much sold out same day.
Yeah.
Within like 30 minutes they're gone.
Yeah.
It was a bit ago. I ended up paying a premium for the Easter Bunny one. I thought that was outstanding.
Yeah.
They've done some cool ones between that and the Christmas and the Halloween ones. They're always putting something out neat.
I am a sucker for those. I'm absolutely a sucker for those. So, yeah.
Well, I got everything Dwayne got. Plus, I got these Legos. They're bagged Legos. And you got a TIE Advanced, which is like Darth Vader's TIE Fighter. And the Razor Crest.
Nice.
But this is the newer Razor Crest from the movie The Mandalorian and Grogu. And those were at, where did I get those at? Barnes and Noble. I think Barnes and Noble.
I saw, were they free giveaways?
No, it was at whatever the place is at the Huntington Mall.
Books a Million.
Books a Million.
Yeah, Books a Million. That's it.
Bam.
Bam. Yeah.
Well, it's nice to actually find something in stores, since that's hard to do nowadays.
I thought I saw where some of those, one of those little sets was like a May the 4th premium. You would get, maybe it was at the Lego store, if you bought a certain price Lego set, they were giving away some of those little baggy, poly bag mini kits.
Yeah, these are not plastic anymore. They're paper.
Oh, are they paper?
Yeah. I think they just started that.
Save the planet.
Yeah. Environmental friendly.
Okay.
Those ones are always a little bit tough to case, right? So we do get those from time to time. But you know, you don't want to end up tearing the baggies, right? And if you put them in paper, it's even a little bit harder. So never making it easy on us.
No.
Okay, so moving on. We always, of course, like to update all of our listeners, especially those who are in the Kentucky area, Kentucky, Ohio, West Virginia area, and let you know about upcoming get-togethers between local collectors. We here in our region, northeastern Kentucky, Ashland, Kentucky area, are going to be having our regular monthly get-together this Saturday, May the 9th. We're recording on May the 6th. So May the 9th, it'll be from noon to 3 at the Flatwoods Public Library Community Room, and we'd love to see anybody, any of our listeners, come by and meet us in person and hang out for about 2 or 3 hours and just kind of talk about all things Star Wars, or we talk everything. We talk movies, we talk other toy lines, and you know, the only thing we kind of don't steer, the only thing we steer away from is politics and religion, right?
Yep.
So, and then it's only, 2 weeks away now? A little bit over 2 weeks away for the new movie, Mandalorian and Grogu, coming out. Mm-hmm. I know there are organized get-togethers happening in Lexington, in that region, at the Hamburg Pavilion Movie Theater. And in Louisville, there are a group of Kentucky Star Wars Collectors Club members getting together to watch the movie. We haven't really organized anything here in the Ashland region. We're just kind of, I think we're all going to kind of see it when we get a chance, and then maybe we'll get together sometime after that weekend and sit down and share our thoughts on everything and how everybody liked it. Big statewide event coming up in June. We're hosting it here in the Ashland area. It's going to be our annual Star Wars Collectors Club fundraiser auction. That'll be June 27th, being held at Armco Park at Shelter House number 4, I believe. Check our Facebook page events for the exact information. That is, of course, if you've ever been to one of our auctions, we all kind of clean out our closets each year, and all the members kind of throw in together and donate just all kinds of items, everything from old clothing to, you know, toys or whatever, the stuff that we don't collect anymore, extras that we may have. And we just donate it for the cause, and then we auction it off. And all that money goes towards funding the club for the coming year. And still a little bit of ways, but we'll go ahead and make a note of it. The KSWCC Case Walk Fall Festival, which is our big, big, big event that we try to hold every year for everybody in the state and surrounding states to come and join us. That's going to be held in the Frankfort area. And that's going to be September 26th. So like I said, still a little bit of ways, but you can go ahead and mark your calendar for that date. And again, keep an eye on our Facebook page for more information.
Yeah. Chris, where do you live at? Do you live in, which state do you live in?
So I'm actually back in Michigan now. I ran CAS for 2 years. So I lived in Florida up until December, and now I'm back in Michigan. So I get to a lot of the Midwest events. In fact, I'm debating on whether or not when I go to ICCA, I've driven in the past. So I may drive down there. So, when I do a Xenia or any of the Ohio shows, I'm always, oddly enough, I've never been to Kane. So that's a show I need to get to one of these days. But
yeah, that was last Sunday, I think.
Yeah.
Dane County.
Never been to any one of those. So like Xenia has treated me so well. It's like, it makes it hard for me to go. We're always set up there, but, and we actually just did a show, maybe like 3-4 weeks ago in Northern Kentucky. Scott Baker did a show. It was the second one. So we have done a couple of things in Kentucky. It's been a while. We did the Kentuckiana Joe Fest a couple times. So we try to get out that way as much as we can. Try to get some presence, in some of these different states mm-hmm. other than just Ohio.
Yeah. Ohio seems to be a hotbed for toy shows, though. It really does.
Ohio and Georgia, I think, because they out of states, right? So because a lot of people, it's not a very long drive, so you can come from a bunch of different places and all converge in one location. And then Ohio, I think the Kenner connection, right? So people still hope that they're going to stumble upon a garage sale and find a rocket firing Boba Fett. Could happen.
You never know.
Things are still being found. So, don't stop hunting.
Yeah.
Yeah, they actually just announced this past week also that Cincinnati Museum Center next year for a celebration of Kenner's 50th, yep. 50 years of Kenner Star Wars toys exhibit yep. is going on in there. And that's going to be in collaboration with the Archive Museum or whatever that Steve Sansweet and his partners are putting together.
So James Ford, who does the Columbus show is putting that on. He's been planning on it for years. Really exciting.
Yeah. Yep. I've seen some smaller exhibits that they've had there from time to time. When they've had like Star Wars costume and movie prop exhibits, they've also had smaller Kenner displays. But this one focusing specifically on the toy line should be something else. Should be looking forward to it. So anyway, that's a little bit into our news and notes segment. Other than that, is there any other news that you guys have?
I can't think of anything else.
I can't either.
Celebration tickets today, right?
Celebration tickets went on sale today. And luckily, I didn't get a 4-day pass, but I got all 4 days individually, which kind of sucks. But most people aren't even getting those. I can't believe they sold out that quickly.
You know what's kind of strange? I bought tickets because, CAS will be there, but if you have a vendor pass, you don't get in on any of the exclusives, right? Makes sense. And I sort of like, if I get them, I get them. And I literally at 3 o'clock, I got in line and I waited in line for about 45 minutes and got passes. But then I was seeing people online for hours. So yeah, I don't know how random it was.
Over 2 hours is how long I waited. It was like 2 hours and 25 minutes before I finally got in. I don't understand why.
I think you have a lot of bots that are buying tickets with the idea of selling them later.
You could buy up to 20, which is ridiculous.
Yeah, I guess it's different. Let's say you guys have a group, right? If you have one person buying on behalf of the group, what if that person was unlucky and was longer in line?
Sure.
You almost... I don't know.
Yeah, your whole group screwed.
yeah. So I don't know how it works. I was actually talking to one of our partners like an hour after, and he was still in line. So, and he was the same way. He ended up getting all the days individually, but not as a 4-day pass, which, you know, make a 4-day pass if I have to, I don't know. So, and I don't know if you guys follow the whole Heritage thing. So there, that was a thing yesterday.
I saw
too,
that. Right?
So.
Yeah, that's creating a lot of dust up in the collecting community.
Yeah.
Or specifically in the community of collectors who participate in online auctions, I guess you could say. Not a good thing that they're, and in case their listeners don't really know, apparently a Heritage Auctions had a series of auctions that supposedly closed in the past week or so, had a closing date, and had already informed the bidders that they had won. And for some odd reason, they reopened some or all of those auctions and allowed further bidding.
Yeah, they extended it 24 hours.
Yeah.
From what I understand, I think they had two different Star Wars auctions. Maybe one that was like toy related, one that was card related, and they ended at different times. And so maybe they, I think there was confusion. You know, if you were in the wrong auction, you couldn't find your items, and then maybe you didn't bid on it, right? It's a tough call, right? Because if you're a seller and you didn't, you know, realize the values that you should have because there was confusion, well, then you want them to extend it. And if you're a buyer and you won, you don't want them to extend it, you know. And that's
you don't want to pay more.
right. So it's a kind of a weird conundrum, right? Because, you know, and it's online auctions aren't brand new, but they're newer. And I think there's still some quirks with how these things run sometimes, right?
Yeah, because I don't understand why there's a buyer premium that they put on it. They should just take their cut out of whatever the seller gets out of it. But they put a buyer's premium
sometimes
of like
25%
to get, or something.
I think in order to get some sellers to sell with them, they'll do their auction for free, right? So then they're only making the money on the buyer's premium. So they're trying to make it any which, you know, on either side of it.
Right.
You know, so, but yet it is kind of, you know, you do those calculations. I've gotten into some of those where you're like, especially you get into some of the more expensive things, you're like, all right, if it's $1,000, it's an extra $200 for 20%, $250 for 25%. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of these things aren't cheap anymore. So like, those buyer's premiums really, really hit the pocketbook.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's go into our announcements that's been given out here recently. From Hasbro, we've got the Actionverse. That's those 4.5-inch semi-articulated figures. You got the Mandalorian Razorcrest playset, Imbo, the Zeb Aurelius, a Mandalorian, a Grogu, and Zelen Starship, a guard droid with a mercenary stap, Imperial AT-RT with a driver, Rada the Hutt. What's a Mando and Grogu? Does that just mean that's from the movie?
It's a three-pack.
Oh, it's a three-pack. Okay, so you get Rada the Hutt, Mando, and Grogu.
Yep.
All right.
And I think you all remember I told you that I thought that they would probably have a specific Mando and Grogu branded line of figures packaging. Well, this is it. There it is, except it's 4.5-inch scale and it's 5 points of articulation, or maybe 6 or 7 points, but not super articulated. Intended for to be toys, intended for playability for children, for young people. And
yeah, but the children can't play with their 3.75 inch figures they already have because they're too tall.
The price points on those, just a single carded figure is $9.99. The Anzellan Starship, which is the little fellows, the little tiny
like Babu Frick.
Smaller than Grogu. So I think that comes with like two or three of those plus a Grogu, and the ship is scaled to them. $19.99 for that, and the stab with the guard droid, and then the AT-RT and the Rod of the Hutt Mando Grogu 3-pack are $29.99. So, you know, very, very, very price friendly, I think, myself. I mean, it's going back to what we were used to, you know, 30 years ago. And even the Mandalorian Razorcrest playset is $84.99, but it's pretty big. I'm going to go out on a limb and say it's probably 15 inches tall, big.
It makes you wonder, if they can make stuff for 4.5-inch figures that are this price, why can't they make stuff like this for 3.75-inch figures?
You're right there. And I'm super jealous, especially because they're getting a Rod of the Hutt. figure in that line, and we haven't seen any news and probably won't get one in the vintage collection line.
Well, even if we did, it'd be well over $100 in the vintage collection.
They'll give us one in about 2 years from now, probably.
Okay, so going on with the Hasbro Vintage Collection, I'll go ahead and take care of announcing these. These were mostly announced on last Friday, May the 1st.
May the 1st, yeah.
On a HasLab live stream. We're getting a Vintage Collection old Anakin Skywalker, like from, you know.
We're like Return of the Jedi.
Return of the Jedi, yeah. But he looks like a, it's not a ghost Anakin Skywalker, which we recently got in a three pack. It's just a regular, you know.
Yeah, I know. That's odd.
Anakin Skywalker in his Jedi robes, you know, like he appeared as a ghost at the end of the movie, original movie.
So the Sebastian Shaw sculpt?
Yes, yeah. Sebastian Shaw sculpt. Huh. That's who I was trying to think of in my head. Thank you. Yeah. So anyway, an odd, I guess they already have the molds because they did the spirit one, so, or the ghost one, Jedi, Force Ghost. Mm-hmm. We're getting a Clone Trooper Commander. Those already, by the time I got on HasLab, when they went on sale, those had already sold out. So that's going to be a big army builder.
Yeah, I only got on like 15 minutes late, and that was already gone.
Yeah. We're getting a Bodhi Rook, which is one of the final figures that has been requested from Rogue One to go with that kind of subset of characters. We're getting a new updated Plo Koon. Plo Koon? Plo Koon. I'm going to go Plo.
Plo Koon.
Plo Koon. I know they, in the animated series, they've pronounced his name before. So, with a cloth robe, but there's been some kind of kickback on that one that he's not really sculpted really well. He's sculpted really well, but he looks odd without the robe on, we'll put it that way. Here's a head scratcher. We're getting a Vintage Collection Luke, which is the Luke Skywalker clone.
Yeah, from the Thrawn series, the original Thrawn series.
In his, I guess, what he looked like in the comic book version.
Yeah, blue cloak.
With a blue cloak. It just looks like Luke Skywalker, but he's just in a weird outfit. So there you go. Vintage Collection Geonosian Warriors. That's going to be a four-pack. Of course, that's in collection with the release of the HasLab. I just forget what it's called. Gunship.
Oh, yeah.
Comes later this year. They're giving you their figure or scene building for that release of that. And there's going to be a San Diego Comic-Con exclusive two-pack of Asajj Ventress and Anakin Skywalker, specifically from the Clone Wars micro animated series.
Yeah, the Genndy Tartakovsky series.
Yeah, when they battled in one of those episodes, and that's, spoiler alert, that's how Anakin got his scar on his forehead or whatever, was from Asajj Ventress. But this particular figure is pre-scar.
What scale is that in, do you know offhand?
That's going to be three.
Three and three quarter. Quarter.
Yeah.
Okay.
It'll be a vintage collection. But it's a special packaging to look like a television set with Clone Wars animated artwork on the outside of it.
That's interesting.
So, and that won't be available until after, those will go on sale after they've, San Diego Comic Con that weekend or whatever. You know how they do. Whatever they say is left over is what they'll sell to the general public. Okay, Carl, why don't you share with us what's going on with the Black Series here?
We're getting a Black Series Clone Commando, a Black Series, is that Satel? Satel Sean, whoever that is. A Black Series Republic Trooper, a Black Series Clone Commander Doom, and the Black Series Clone Commander Thorn, which will be a Target exclusive. Black Series Mission Veo and Arf Anazi, and a San Diego Comic-Con exclusive Clone Wars ARF Trooper 501st and an AT-RT. And in the helmets, they're doing the Star Wars, the Black Series Darth Vader mini helmet, and they're doing the Clone Captain Rex mini helmet, which will be a Walmart exclusive.
Okay. So sounds like the Black Series collectors are getting a bunch of odd selections similar to what our, the vintage collection collectors are getting. They're going really, really heavy on like video games and animated characters, aren't they? Did we glitch out?
What's that?
I said, did we glitch out? Everything went quiet there for a
second. No, no.
No, you're good.
Okay. Retro collection. We've known what the newest set of retro collection figures are going to be for a month or so now, but we finally got information on that they're going to be a Target exclusive box set, and the pre-orders aren't going to be until June 5th at 1 p.m. is when supposedly. And we know how Target is. We'll all be online on June 5th at 1 p.m. They won't have them up.
Or they'll have them up, and then we'll order, then they'll cancel them a month later like last
time. Oh, yeah. That's So we did have a new, I don't know if you guys were familiar with it, the Titan series, which is the 12-inch figures that are just, again, 5 points of articulation. Mm-hmm. They did release a couple of repacks and a new Maul Shadow Lord version of in the Titan series, and then the Darth Vader repack and the Mandalorian repack. But those are available in stores and online now too. Again, in kind of tie-ins with the new Maul Shadow Lord animated series, and of course the upcoming Mandalorian movie. And to finish Hasbro off in the role play division, they're announced and showcased an Ultimate Grogu 1-to-1 scale life-size animatronic figure. These are available for pre-order right now on Hasbro Pulse, but they won't be available until 2027. They won't actually ship until 2027.
Do you see how much them things cost?
No.
$600.
Yep.
They also have it on Entertainment Earth and Amazon as well.
Oh, do they? Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I guess I won't be getting one of those.
Well, or you wait till they go on clearance, right? I mean,
yeah. That almost sounds like it's something that they maybe considered probably doing as a HasLab thing, because that's the price range that the HasLab stuff is usually, you know, in. But they've decided to make it a wide public release instead. And the timing is, I mean, if they were going to do it, they should have started it last year in order for them to be available right now.
You would think.
Because by 2027, Grogu is going to be old news.
Unless he's in something, he could always show up in Ahsoka, right?
Yeah. He could.
True.
There also has Hasbro just announced today that there's going to be a Black Series Attack of the Clones Phase 1 Clone Trooper Premium Electronic Roleplay Helmet, which is an Amazon exclusive, and this is the first time that this Phase 1 Clone Trooper helmet has been released for many, 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 many years, actually.
Huh. Okay.
I think, what was the original helmet company? Was it FX?
Master Replicas, one of those companies.
Yeah, Master Replicas, that's who I was trying to think of, or EFX.
Yeah, EFX, it could have been anybody.
Released it a long time ago, but it's the first time Hasbro's releasing it. And also, and then we may have mentioned this last month, but I just noticed that there was the Force FX lightsaber from Maul Shadow Lord is also now available for pre-order. Okay.
All right, the Disney Droid Factory. The next one that comes out, we were talking about earlier, how we had one more to go, and it's B2 Emo on June the 5th. I will actually be at Disney that day, or close to it, so maybe I can pick them up while I'm there.
Oh, yeah. Save some shipping. Oh, my
God. Yeah.
Yeah, that was crazy. And then the Pride droid for this year is R5 Proud, which will be available for pre-order on June the 18th at 11 a.m. Eastern Time. And then Galaxy's Edge will be offering a line of carded figures with comics and coins, which they already have them out. If you picked them up, there was five of them. I bought all of them on their website on May the 4th. And they are Chewbacca, First Order, Stormtrooper, Doc Ondar, Hondo, Anaka, and the DJ Rex figure.
That's cool.
Yeah. It's a smaller figure, too, from what it looked like. It's only about maybe
I think they said two and a half inches, something like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
For DJ Racks specifically, or they're all like regular 3¾ scale?
No, they're all about 2.5 inches tall. They're not as tall or not as big, even though they're on the same, look like the same size card with the comic or whatever.
Interesting.
Yeah, it's a comic book, and then the coin looks to be like a Power of the Force coin.
Mm-hmm.
But the figures are a little like almost like pocket heroes or what recently, if you've seen in some of the, I know I saw these in Walmart, they're called Page Punchers, which was, I believe, McFarlane was releasing them DC comic book with like a small Superman mm-hmm. figure or a small Batman figure that were, you know, 2.5 inches big. So I don't know. It's, you know, it's Galaxy Edge related, so the comic books are going to be stories about things, you know, made up stories about things that happened, you know, there in the Galaxy's Edge corner mm-hmm. of the universe. So I thought that the Doc Ondar one was supposed to be like sort of a bonus or was it just available for pre-order just like the other ones?
Yep.
Okay.
And it's not even really a pre-order. They're shipping it out. I've already got it shipped to me.
Okay. Yep. One thing we don't have in our notes here, and I don't know if they're still available or not, but as of Monday, May the 4th, the Star Speeder 1000 became available again.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that.
Order from Disney, Shop Disney. And guess who ordered one?
You ordered another one?
I ordered this one, which is the Star Speeder 1000, which is the orange original version of the Star Speeder from Star Tours, which the one Carl has. The one I already had was the Star Speeder 3000, which is the blue and white one. But I thought I'd missed out on it, and it came available again, so I took the plunge.
Those are a bit pricey, right? That's a really big ship.
Yes,
it's huge. I can't believe how big it was.
Yeah, it's a good 2.5 feet long.
Yeah.
One of those ones, if you buy it when you're at Disney, you got to figure out how to get it home, right?
So. Yeah. Yep. Okay. Right. Just real quickly here, we'll go over some Sideshow stuff and Ringo Robot and Jada Toys, and then we'll be done with this. Sideshow Hot Toys 1/6 scale. Just in the last month, they've released announced pre-orders are available for an Ahsoka Tano Padawan version from Season 1 of Clone Wars with the baby Rod of the Hutt in the backpack included, just like from that episode of Clone Wars. There's also going to be a Zeb Aurelius in his X-Wing fighter outfit, 1/6 scale, and a Darth Maul Shadow Lord 1/6 scale. So they are very much, you know, right there with the current media releases, the movies and the animated series and everything. And are doing what Hasbro really should do and releasing things in conjunction with the big event things that are happening. Also, Hot Toys is there's going to be an Imperial Remnant AT-RT and AT-RT driver in the 6th scale. So that'll be pretty big, actually.
Mm, yeah, really big.
Yeah, because I was thinking, you know, that we had announced earlier or said earlier that there was going to be a Black Series one. But now there's going to be a Hot Toys, you know, 6 scale, which is 12 inches. And Sideshow, not Hot Toys, but Sideshow is releasing a Tesseq, which is Jabba's palace alien or sail barge alien. Is that right?
Yeah.
Tesseq.
Tesseq is Squid Head.
Oh, okay. So that's actually, yeah, okay. That's actually Cantina, right? Or am I mistaken?
No, it's Jabba's. That's Jabba's palace.
I just watched all three movies in the last three weeks. You would think I would know this stuff.
Well, he was in both, right? He got on the sail barge.
Yeah, he's probably on the sail barge too. Heck, everybody was on the sail barge, and everybody lived on the sail barge too. Nobody blew up with it.
Yeah.
Regal Robot announced that they have a series of sculpted busts that are bronze. Appear to be bronze, but they're not. I mean, they just kind of look bronze. They're doing a set of Luke Skywalker Jedi Knight and Darth Vader reveal, meaning Anakin Skywalker, you know, when Luke takes Vader's helmet off there at the end of Return of the Jedi. So those two, you can order together in their standard scale size of about 7 inches tall. And that same Darth Vader reveal Anakin Skywalker in a 1-to-1 life size version. And last but not least, Jada Toys is releasing, based on Mandalorian and Grogu. They have two new remote control walkers. One is an Imperial Remnant AT-AT, and the other one is an AT-RT. This is the first time in a long time that we'll be getting some actual. And again, these are for kids. You know, they're making toys for kids to play with, because that's really the target. I still think it should be the target audience for this new movie for Mandalorian and Grogu.
Yeah.
So there you go. And now we have.
If you price kids out of the market, there's nobody to be future collectors, right? So.
Sure. Oh yeah.
True.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm a big advocate of, you know, them always having something available, both in price range and in playability for kids.
Yeah. Because the vintage collection is really expensive, and it's really not meant for kids. I mean, those figures are very fragile.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, I agree completely. It's priced, you know, the price range now and the fragility of some of them, of a lot of them actually, just don't lend to a lot of rough and tumble play anymore.
No.
Okay, so now is our feature presentation. And the reason that we're all here this week, we're going to talk to you, Chris, about your company, Collector Archive Services, or CAS, and kind of pick your brain here about what the whole archiving and grading scene is like. So can you give us a little bit of background, kind of
fill us in? How did this start?
How did it start?
So CAS was founded in 2016. Essentially, we had it's a collector and somebody who knew how to work with acrylic, right? So Todd DiMartino, who actually was really good friends with Tom Derby and actually a really big AFA fan. But, you know, it just, he was in a situation where, you know, there wasn't a second option. And, you know, if there was no way to get things back quicker and you're sort of like on their timeline. So I thought, well, you know, why don't we try to start something else, you know, something else a little bit different, you can go a little bit different path, you know, focus a little bit more on some of the customs and some of the fun things we can do with toys. So they founded it in 2016. And then I think 2017, 2018, Ross Barr ended up joining CAS. You know, Ross was a really big name in the groups, the Facebook groups way back then. So kind of a big deal when he joined and kind of got my attention because he and I were friends. CAS started expanding and he wanted to take a capital investment. So I signed on at the end of 2019 and got really, really, really involved. And the end of 2023, we started a sister company called AMG, which does media grading. And Ken, who had run CAS, was going to go run that company. They got some venture capital money and they were going to kind of go out on their own. And they needed somebody to run CAS. And, you know, I always was really critical about how CAS was run. So it was like, put your money where your mouth is. And so I packed up everything and I went to Florida and had the pleasure of putting sort of my spin on CAS while I was down there. And then I ended up coming back to Michigan the end of December. And now I'm back to doing what I did before, which is a lot of armchair quarterbacking and then research and development for some cool things that we have going on. We're doing some experimenting with some cases, possibly moving to different ways of constraining like loose figures. So, you know, different things that are hard to do when you're running a company. CAS is obviously known for grading toys, video games, sports memorabilia, some package trading cards. You guys probably have encountered them with vintage and modern Star Wars. We were looking for a capital investment the end of last year. And, you know, probably one of the best partners in the world is we ended up getting Big Bad Toy Store to invest in our company. So now we are married to Big Bad Toy Store. We actually are setting up a facility at Big Bad Toy Store. So they can actually, they're going to get to a point where you're going to be able to buy anything from their inventory and have it graded. And then obviously to be able to do uncirculated stuff right off the bat, right? So things right out of the case, as fresh as they can be. And the advantage, of course, I mean, there's a lot of advantages of Big Bad Toy Store, but you know, you don't, if you buy any of your pieces that you know we talked about earlier, you're going to send them to CAS and say you're going to pay $20 in shipping, you're going to pay for grading, it'll be $30 coming back, right? Because it's going to be heavier, it's acrylic. You get to take advantage of the bag of loot option at Big Bad Toy Store. So if you buy a graded piece there, you can throw it in your bag of loot. And was it $6, whatever they charge for whatever you have? So you can have a bunch of other stuff and throw in a couple of graded pieces in there and essentially get shipping for free, which is really, really cool, you know. And they're really a company that is really lends itself to this, right? Because they have their premium, you know, they go and they find the premium products already. So they're already set up to do that. So we're already pre-set up for grading before that happened. So you know, we actually are really, really happy to be heavily involved with them now. So
nice. Yeah. So what is the process of getting a Star Wars figure graded?
So you get it to us in a couple of ways. So, you know, we do a lot of toy shows. So people like to drop off at toy shows. But we are primarily a mail order company. So you go onto our website, which can sometimes take a little time to learn. If your item's something that's been out for a while, chances are we've done it. You find it on the website, you add it to cart, you know, and then it'll give you shipping instructions. You ship it in. We let you know when it comes in. Sits in our queue for between 90 and 120 days, depending on our volume. Then you will all of a sudden get a email showing pictures of you know, your items that are graded, show you the grades. You'll get a shipping quote soon thereafter. We send it back. Or if you drop off at a show, one of the advantages of dropping off at a show is that you don't have to pay to ship to us. So we take care of shipping on the way there. Also, you get a little bit of time to be able to, you know, maybe if you have some of these questions you want to ask one of us personally, we could do that. We're really trying to expand our show presence, right? So last year, I think we did 24 shows. This year, I think we're at 44 shows. We really like to be at about one a week. Yeah. The good news is we do a lot. The bad news is we do a lot like Midwest, East Coast, right? It's really kind of, there's not a lot of West Coast shows, or we don't get notified of them a lot. So, but we like to get out there. We like to be able to talk to people. We like to be able to have some samples that people can see, you know, show off some of the things that we do and talk about, you know, how we fit into your collection. Because people grade for different reasons. You know, some people grade for investment. Some people grade because they, you know, don't want their stuff to get dirty or, you know, they have their childhood Luke Skywalker. They don't want their kid to think it's a toy, you know. So people grade for different reasons, and you kind of talk them through the process and, you know, why, how, you know, things like that. So,
yeah, I was looking at your, I'm on your webpage right now, actually, and it says meet us at a show. You're right. You've got several. Looks like Florida and Tennessee, Georgia, Tennessee, but you know, Texas and Las Vegas, Phoenix are about the far west as you go. I don't see anything really west.
Yeah.
Well, you'll be going to Star Wars Celebration next year, correct?
I'm so geeked about that. So yeah, you know, I did Celebration. The Anaheim one was the first one I ever did with CAS. I visited the CAS booth in the one in Chicago, just because I knew some of the folks there. But Celebration is a lot of fun. It's a lot of energy. You know, I love it. I love all of it because the show was a show. There's the whole after party stuff, right? The room sales and, you know, some of the events that you do. It truly is, you know, I'm a nerd, right? So to me, it's like Nerdvana weekend, right? You get to spend all this time hanging out with people. Plus, not only you get to hang out with people that you see semi-regularly, I do a lot of shows, so I do see a lot of folks, but you know, you get to see a lot of the international friends, which is a lot of fun too, you know? You know, I got involved in the Facebook groups in 2012, and I made a lot of international friends, and that's one of the coolest things about, you know, these shows. You get to go and, you know, I know this guy, Arwen, that, you know, He's in the Netherlands, and I've actually got to meet him twice. You never think you're going to be able to meet a fellow collector, you know, but some of these events, they fly out to them and you get to see them. So I love being able to go to these shows.
Tell us about your collection back there.
I've been a collector for a long time. I love the original line of toys, and I've always been a package collector. I was into trading cards back in like 1993, and a dealer that I always went to visit at a toy show, he had a very, very beat up 12-back C-3PO, beat up to the point where like you could really take him out of the bubble. And he wanted like $20 for it, and I saw it. I'm like, this must be the only one that never got opened. So I bought it. Like, it was one of those things. I absolutely had to buy it. And then started collecting, you know, the vintage line back then, and then got married and sold everything off. And then I got, you know, involved, like I said, in the Facebook groups in 2012. And my thought was, well, I used to have these vintage Carter figures. I'm just going to buy one. And I ended up buying a Return of the Jedi R2-D2 sensor scope, you know, off of eBay pretty affordably. I thought, that's all I need. And then, well, you see what's behind me. It's like potato chips, right? You can't just have one. So behind me is the entire full run. So, 12 backs through 92 backs. And fortunately, like back in 2013, I ended up being able to pick up a Power of the Force Yak face. It's got ink touch up, so it's not gradable. We could archive it, but I can't get a letter grade. And then ironically, right around the same time I joined CAS, the end of 2019, there was a Hakes auction, and there was an Anakin in that auction, and there's a buddy of mine pretty well off. And he said, oh, you looking at anything in the Hakes auction? I said, well, you know, there's that Anakin still pretty low. And he kind of sent me a LOL. And I said, well, say you never know. And he goes, well, I was kind of looking at that too. And I said, I'll tell you what, if it stays under $5,000, you know, let me take it. And if it goes for more than that, you know, you'll take it. Even back then, it was like a $9,000, $10,000 figure. And it was one of those that just kind of fell through the cracks for whatever reason. I ended up getting it for like $3,800.
Oh, wow.
So I never anticipated ever owning a Power of the Force Anakin. I kind of figured that was out of my realm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But yet I have it. So I truly do have a full run. So the last 17, one of each of the last 17 on a Power of the Force card. A couple of like oddballs in there too. Like I have the Takara head sculpt variation, Darth Vader. I have the glue stick Tebow, because why shouldn't Ewoks have come with glue sticks? You know, and now my vintage collection, I've tried to add a couple of autographed pieces. That's what you see behind me, right? But then I love the Black Series, and I never had a reason to buy it, right? It's like, why? I already have enough things. What are you going to do? So I started right before the celebration in Anaheim, I started getting Black Series signed pieces. So whenever I go to like shows that have signers, I try to get Black Series signed when I can. So that's like a sub focus that I have going on now, which is a lot of fun. You know, after Celebration in 2019, Peter Mayhew died, the week after that. You know, Carrie Fisher died right after Rogue One. And, you're like, these are people that I'd love to see, love to shake hands with, love to, you know, talk to. And so I thought, well, this is a good way for me to do that, and then also be able to buy, you know, figures that I like. So,
well, I haven't told this story to you, of course, but I've told it to these guys. Back at Celebration 5, this is how it was back then. The stars would come out and walk around all the places. They would come and eat and all this stuff. And I sat down to eat. And about 5 minutes after I sat down to eat, somebody asked me, he was like, is this seat taken? I was like, no, go ahead. It was Jeremy Bullock. He pulled up a seat right next to me and sat and ate lunch.
Oh, my gosh. That's awesome. That's awesome.
You won't see that today.
You know, that's one of the things about ICC that I really like, is that you look, the stars are kind of in there. Mm-hmm. And I didn't bother him, but Warwick Davis was there. You know, he was there with his son. And I ended up, I ate breakfast like right next to him. Yeah. You know, and it's kind of nice to be able to like see these people, and you know, it's fun. I guess it adds, because like you know, I guess everybody probably is a Boba Fett fan, but that's a story you're never going to forget, right? Oh, yeah. And you're probably like geeking out about it, right? That's like so much fun. So, and unfortunately, he's one of the people that I never met, right? So he did a lot of signing, but it was before I did it. So anything I have of his was purchased from somebody else. So that was, you know, one that I definitely regret not seeing. So, although I was fortunate enough on eBay, you know, nobody likes personalized things. I don't usually go for personalized, but there was a Power of the Force 2 Jeremy Bullock signed Boba Fett, and it says, "To Chris, you're next, Jeremy Bullock." Like, it works for me.
Yeah.
So, love it. So,
Are all of your figures in your collection behind you, are they all in acrylic?
So, my Star Wars, the original 2021 are. My Jedi all are. My Jedi, I had a focus of, I wanted them on debut cards, unpunched, no price stickers, graded 80 or better. So those are all graded. My Power of the Force are all graded. My Empire Strikes Back ones are not. They're a little bit condition sensitive. So, you know, us collectors, we just decide to go down like rabbit holes, right? So my Empire run, for the most part, are the 48A / I think H is what they're calling it now, card back. So it's the it was the offerless 48 card back. So every Empire figure I have is on that card back. Really tough card back to get. So and there is for Loam, it would have been his only offerless card. That one I have him loose with a card back. It's like a the carded version of him. It's like a $20,000 figure. They're really, really rare on that card back. He was really only circulated in like Australia, Malaysia, up that way. And then there's no known samples of Leia Bespin on that card back. So, but I got them however I got them. So it was kind of nice. Jeff Etchenkamp, he runs the Facebook group where they're putting together the entire the Kellerman Matrix, and he's adding to the Matrix as it goes. So I think I was able to add like four or five confirmations to that Matrix because I happen to have that specific card back run, which is always nice when you can contribute, you know, because I sort of serendipitously did something I love, but, you know, they were card backs that not everybody could say for sure that they existed. That's kind of fun and cool. But some of those, there are some that would probably grade like 50s, which I'm a little bit less concerned about than as I was before. You know, like I mentioned earlier, I do trading cards, and you know, way back when, you always wanted to have high grade pieces. But now, you know, Mickey Mantle rookie and a PSA 1 is a $40,000 card. It's not something that just needs that, right? So now I'm getting to a point where I archive pieces when I was earlier in grading if they were in poor condition. Now I say grade them and get them the grade that they have, because, you know, they're finite. And you don't really know, you know, who's going to be looking for them, what they're going to be looking for, and kind of call them as they are. So I'm not only am I pro grading, but I'm pro getting a number grade, even if that number grade isn't a great one. So
did you ever actually do any of the grading in the company?
So I was a tiebreaker. So we have two people that grade, you know, and if it's if the person who graded it, if the other person is 5 points or closer, like a plus or whatever, it doesn't change, right? But if there's a big difference, they talk amongst themselves, and if they can't come to a consensus, I was a tiebreaker.
Okay.
So, which is kind of nice because, you know, we do have a grading scale that we go by, but, you know, 90s, 90, 85s, 80s, you know, those you're usually pretty good at. But as you go down further in grades, you see less and less of them for a couple of reasons. Number one, people don't send them in. Number two, you don't get them because at some point with a toy, it transitions from being packaged to loose, right? So it'd be really, really hard to find a mint on card piece that's graded a 10, right? Because if it's graded a 10, something may be so damaged where it's no longer packaged, you know. So unless you get like a card back that's like cut in half, you know, with a proof of purchase that's cut up, the bubble's really, really sealed and it didn't crack or whatever, you know, it's hard to get those that are that grade that low. So we don't see a lot of it. You don't get as much experience. So, you know, you argue a little bit more over the 60, you know, or the 50s than you do about, you know, the higher grade pieces.
Yeah.
So how do you come up with those numbers? Is there like a bunch of numbers you come up with first and then you have an overall number, or how's that work?
So what we have, you know, if it's a package piece that has elements that we would assign subgrades to, you look at each subgrade, right? And then you can never be more than 5 points higher than your lowest subgrade. So like I always say, like I have a walking wind up R2D2. The bubble I think is an 80, the figure I think is an 85, but there's a really big crease down the card and the card back's a 50, and I believe it's a 55. And when I try to explain that to people, because sometimes people will say, well, is it an average? And I said, well, let's say you bought a Mercedes-Benz and like that car was mint, flawless, right? And the interior is absolutely flawless, but it didn't have an engine. That's a big problem, right?
Yeah.
Like it's you can't say, well, you had an 80 and an 80 and a 50 and you average it. Not the 50 has a much bigger impact on how you feel about that. You know, if you can't drive it home, right? Mm-hmm. If you have to, you know, try to get an engine for it or something, right? So the biggest flaw holds the most weight. So and then, you know, you have a little bit of, like I said, you can go up 5 points. You know, if it's a box item or something that's only in a box, then there's no saving grace. It's just whatever the grade is what the grade is on it. So
what about price stickers? Does that take very much off of a grade?
No. So when we put together the scale, we just said that, like, it couldn't be a 95 with a price sticker, right? So so it doesn't affect the grade beyond that. But what does affect the grade is residue, right? So if you, which I didn't know, by the way, when I first got involved with CAS. So, you know, I have to get it. Maybe I'll try to clean it up and get it regraded. But, you know, I had a really nice, nice 12-back Darth Vader. And it ended up getting, and I thought it was like going to be straight 85s. And ended up getting a 75 because the card back had residue on it. You know, not it wasn't even like white, like the sticker peeled off bad, just the actual gumminess of itself. So residue.
Do you guys offer a cleaning service like some other places do?
We don't, because if it goes bad, we're no longer friends, right? So you know, I've had some experience like in my private collection, taking off some price tags. I've only had it go wrong one time, and that was with the 79 back Papaloo. The Papaloo and Lumont were both made in Mexico, so they're both made in the Lilly Letty factory, and their card backs are a little bit thinner, a little bit chippier. And then when I went to go try to remove that price tag, it just took off, you know, a chunk of the actual the litho, right? So, but if that happened, and you know, you didn't want that to happen, then, you know, you wouldn't be super happy with us, right? So we try to, as much as we'd like to. Now, if something is dusty, we're not going to leave it dusty. You know, if it's something we can wipe down, but we don't go out of our way to, like, clean off sticker residue. Just, you know, if it goes bad, then, you know, it creates an issue.
Talk a little bit, if you would, about your collector's club memberships.
Yeah, that's something we started back up again. People have always wanted it, and it was one of those things that was a little bit hard to run before. So this one is a lot more automated, right? So there's two different price levels. There's like a master and apprentice. Basically, if you end up getting the membership, you almost get enough free grading and merch to cover the cost of grading as it is. And then we also, like, throughout the year, you know, we'll throw in like a 30-day express or a free one on your birthday kind of thing. So incentives to keep you grading throughout the year. The idea really behind it is, like, if you're a dealer, it works really, really well for you because you can kind of keep things flowing and get a discount on it, right? But if you're a collector, like, for example, it was right when I submitted my Jedi It was really right before CAS started it the first time, but it would have really behooved me to do that, right? Because I knew I was going to be sending in a bunch of things, and you may as well do it at that discount, right? So it would have saved me a significant amount of money had I gone and done that, right? So if this is the year you're going to grade your collection, this is the year you want to put them in acrylic, even if you're not someone that typically would do it, you know, the savings really outweigh that initial cost. And plus you get some of the rapid return things, which is nice if you have something that you just can't live without, or something that maybe you want to, you know, sell to maybe fund some of your other grading or your next purchase. So collectors really like it. We've had fun with now we have CAS hats. You get a CAS hat and a CAS cup. And the idea of the cup is we want to change it every year. So maybe kind of make them a little bit collectible, have a different one on there every year to kind of give you something a little bit new to go after, and maybe some new stickers and decals and such. So it's fun. Collectors like it. People that submit a lot definitely always call for the club. So we're actually happy to have it back. And it's automated. So, things will automatically generate. So, you don't have to worry about me forgetting your birthday. It'll happen. If you put in your right date, it'll happen on your birthday for you. So.
Okay. So yeah, like I said, I was just looking over it here on the website, and it, like you said, if you're someone who's wanting to either just dip your toes into the grading, aspect of the collectible world, or you even mentioned maybe a dealer or someone who sends in submissions, monthly, to try to turn them around and resell them, then your percentage savings on your grade. Yeah, I noticed you've got a couple of free gradings in there throughout the year and stuff like that. So that makes sense.
It changes the ROI for sure. Something
like that.
Yeah.
So on your pricing,
and you'll have collections. Go ahead.
I was going to say, on your just general pricing, I know there's AFA is out there. I know it's probably a dirty word around here.
No, there's AFA stuff behind me.
Yeah.
I've been doing this for a while.
Well, how do you feel competitive-wise? Is your pricing, do you feel like, in your service?
We're pretty close. We monitor, I didn't actually catch to see if they changed. I think they were going to be raising prices yesterday. But I haven't seen that. So I guess I'm not trying to talk down to them. Pricing wise, I think we're fairly competitive. I think they have us a little bit on modern Star Wars, which is kind of strange, because it's the same amount of work that goes into it. A little less research, maybe, if it's something that, you don't have to, there isn't a lot of authentication to some of the newer stuff. But I think they also drive you into the over the figure labels, and then now into the new grading scale, which is a little bit confusing for folks. We kind of keep an eye on the pricing for that stuff, and ultimately I think now with Hasbro, or not Hasbro, with Big Bad Toy Store, people are going to be able to really save enough money buying things directly through them to where, I think we'll end up even being cheaper on the modern stuff.
Okay.
So, they end up holding us to a little bit. Like, we had our loose figures were a little bit higher than they were for a little bit. AFA stopped doing loose figures for a few years, like 3 years. And they came back and did it and came in back at a lower price point. So we adjusted ours down. We're kind of moving and shaking with that a little bit. So
anybody have any other questions?
I do. I can't find where I saw it out on your webpage, but I saw something about you were offering a service on like 12 bag Star Wars figures that was some sort of bubble protector.
So yes. And that's something that was actually, one of my pet projects. And we did it for a bit, and it's something that I'm getting back into again. So they were hard to create. So what I ended up doing was finding, vintage bubbles, made silicone molds, resin casts. And then whenever you do any of that, there's always a little bit of shrinkage. So then I had to, we would vacuum form over until we got a size that worked. And then and then we could make actual molds, vacuum form molds to put over. I don't think I have one.
So does this like cover around the bubble to prevent it from like busting and shipping or something? Or
yes, so tough to see, which is the point, right? So this Boba Fett has one. One of the best ways to tell is, I don't know if you can see at the stem, you can see a little bit of a pull there. That's just, so what it is a vacuum formed piece of clear acrylic that went over the entire bubble and card back, right? Now this worked great again, but you know, you had to have the bubble in the right place. And sometimes that's not always the case. And then there ended up being a bunch of variations. So like things that you guys maybe have never noticed, but like, for example, the original 12 back Leia came with two different stem sizes. Did you know that? I did. So, and you find that out. And so you have a mold for one, and then you have to, you know, to find another bubble as a sample and make a mold for that one. Became kind of challenging. So now what I've done is I'm looking into 3D printing these. I've actually started to draw a bunch of these bubbles. I'm going to start 3D printing them. And then if I need to, it's really easy to scale up something that's 3D printed, right? If I just say,
yeah, 3D printer right here.
Yeah. So yeah, I'm going to become a 3D printing master, right? And that will allow me to do this very, very quickly. But now instead of doing this full overlay, so when I was at CAS, so what this does is it protects the bubble, which is great. It doesn't protect the flange, right? So if the figure is coming off the flange a little bit, if the flange is loose, it does nothing to save it. So one of the things that we do, we've done this for a while, but this is a loose figure in front of a card back. And the way we manage to do that is we actually have a piece of wrapped acrylic that goes around the card back. So that way you're not gluing anything to the card back itself, right? So we've been doing this for a very, very long time. And I actually had a collector friend. He had a William Shatner signed piece where the bubble fell off the card. And it wasn't our fault. He picks it up, nothing happened in shipping, just, you know, fell off the card. And he's like, can you do anything for me about this? And I'm like, let me think about it. And so I thought, well, I already know that I can wrap the card back, you know, in the acrylic, but the actual autograph, the sign piece was actually on the bubble. So you need the bubble, right? Or you can't just do the loose figure on there. So I thought, well, what if I make a cutout that's just the size of the bubble, right? But leave the flange in there. And so I ended up doing that, right? So lifted up the acrylic, separated it, put the card back, put the bubble in there, and held it down. And well, now that held the flange in. Okay, now I'm protecting the flange. And we did that for a bunch of pieces. You know, you do it for like a lot of like Lily Letty stuff or things that come from, you know, South America. You get a lot of flange separation from those. Well, then just in the course of like, I don't know if you folks know Thomas Fagan, really, really popular in a lot of the groups, great guy. And he's like, you know, he goes, if instead of having your bubble protector, which covers the whole card, if you just cover the bubble and put it underneath that flange protector thing, you'd be all set. Like, you're right. We'd really be all set, wouldn't we? So that's kind of where we're going with that, right? So, I want to, you know, create a complete set of bubbles. And then just as people order, you know, we just create the hole in the wrapped acrylic. And then you can have a bubble protection where you are protecting the figure from breaking through the bubble. You're protecting the flange from coming off. And really, that's what we all want, right? We want our pieces to be able to stay nice. And frankly, this is not an issue that's unique to the vintage stuff. I actually had the pleasure of visiting Hasbro Pulse, and they sent us a couple of things back, and I had a clone trooper that the bubble fell right off, right? This is a modern piece. Well, you know, we could protect those now too.
Yeah.
So that's actually something that that I'm really, really, really excited to get back up and going. Because, you know, I mean, very recently somebody posted, I think it was a Heritage Auction, Chewbacca that popped through a bubble. None of us like to see that. None of us want to see that, right? And there are people who shy away from grading because it is really challenging to protect the bubble once things are graded. But if we can solve that problem for you, then maybe you'll take that step, you know, get a membership, come on in and start getting things graded.
Especially if your bubble's yellow, it has a higher tendency to crack.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So, you know, and we all want to protect that stuff. So I was really, in fact, I did a low gray the other day because a really yellow one. Low gray, just so you know, two different bubbles on him. He has one where the nub of his weapon sticks up and one where it doesn't. So things that we don't notice until you become focused on bubbles.
Yeah.
So, and that was one of the things too, like maybe you notice, maybe you don't with the vintage line, but you know, Star Wars and Empire, all the figures had bubbles with stems. And then with Jedi, they went to a stemless bubble. And so if you look at a figure like, let's look at Jawa, right? So the vinyl cape Jawa has its own bubble, right? And then Jawa, for the beginning of the 12 back line had used the R2 bubble. And then he ended up getting his own bubble towards the end of the 12 back line and kept that bubble throughout. So you have vinyl cape Jawa bubble. You have the regular Jawa bubble. Then you have the Jawa bubble with no stem. And then you have the Jawa bubble for Power of the Force, right? So if you know, we're going to come out with a full line of bubble protector just for Jawa. And that's not throwing in tri logo or anything crazy like that, right? So they didn't make it easy on us, but we still want to be able to protect these pieces for our customers. So
yeah, well, that sounds really, really interesting. I mean, of course, you don't really even notice it just from the display perspective. You know, you were showing it to us there on the video, and until you turned it kind of sideways there, it's almost, you know, imperceivable.
We ended up getting complaints because people were saying we didn't put them on there. So for a while we had like a little bit of an embosser to emboss it because people weren't seeing it. But that's the point, right? The idea is that you're not supposed to see it. The one person did point out that they were a little bit shinier, and that was a little bit distracting. So I think the idea now of having the it go underneath a flip frame, and people are sort of already used to that clear acrylic look. Plus it makes kind of a complete solution, right? So when it was like one of those, you know, epiphany moments, because when Thomas mentioned that, I was like, brilliant, right? So, you know, you love it. And that's kind of the beauty of talking to folks, right? Like getting out in the community and talking to people, because, you know, we can sit there and think we have all the best ideas in the world, but, you know, somebody says something, it's like, that was so simple. The answer was right in front of us all the time. Plus, it was a lot harder to vacuum form bubbles when you're doing the entire card back, because they wanted, especially at the top of the bubble, they wanted to get these like little lines to kind of come into it. Well, if you're only vacuum forming over the bubble, there's a lot more pull in the direction. There's a lot less length of pull, right? So you get a much cleaner pull. You know, figures like Power Droid were a nightmare. You know, and they were a nightmare for Kenner too. If you ever look at the vintage Power Droid, you know, his bubbles are a hot mess always, even the, you know, so that was one that was a challenge to create. So 3D printing will make it a lot easier, actually.
So what you're saying is you can 3D print in clear acrylic now.
No, what we're going to do, I can 3D print a bubble mold and vacuform over it.
Okay, that clears it up. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
If
so
you just do clear acrylic, then that would, you know.
I know you can do clear acrylic 3D printing because our sister company, they have sonic welded cases, and there's a company that they were dealing with that was sending samples printed in clear acrylic, and they weren't that bad. I mean, they weren't as clear as you'd want them to be. But I'd say they were 85% as clear as you'd want them to be. So
it's coming. It's getting there, maybe.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's nice when, you know, like I am with, you know, we're experimenting in case design, you know, changes and stuff, things that, you know, and if you can 3D print it and see if it works, you know, test our ways of holding things down and make sure that, you know, that everything works ahead of time before you go in and order a bunch of, you know, because right now, all the cases that we're making, we make them in-house, right? If we ended up moving on to something, you know, a little bit more like sonic welded, those would be things that would be, you know, molded plastics. Those would be things that we'd purchase. What we don't want to do is purchase 5,000 cases and realize they didn't work.
Yeah.
So.
All right. Well, We want to thank you, Chris, for coming on and talking about all this. This has been an interesting talk.
Well, thanks for having me. And I'll be seeing you folks probably at some of these shows soon, right?
Hopefully, yeah.
Yeah,
the next, I'll be, definitely the Fall Xenia show.
Yeah, I'll be at the Fall Xenia show.
Anyone going to ICC or?
No, not this year. This will be the first one I missed for a while.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'll be there. If anybody in your listening audience that wants to meet me, I'm like really famous. So, but yeah, I'll be there in Joe Fest coming up. So that's going to be a lot of fun.
Okay.
So we have just a little bit of housekeeping to finish up with here. And as usual, we're going to ask Carl to read us out.
Well, we have a Patreon account and you can help us out with our podcast costs by signing up for as little as $1 a month. And that's patreon.com/thestarwarscollector. And we want to thank our Patreon members that already do help us out. Very much appreciated. Again, that's patreon.com/thestarwarscollector. And we have a Facebook page. It's at facebook.com/thestarwarscollectorpodcast. We also have a Facebook group. And you can leave us an iTunes review if you want to, and any other place that you listen to that happens has a review option. If you need to email us, contact us, like to send us Ask Bo questions for our podcast or anything, you can reach us at tswcpodcast@gmail.com. And you can find us on X as well as Blue Sky at tswcpodcast. And this month's Facebook shout out goes to Mark Triplett. Thanks for listening, Mark.
One thing we forgot to talk about was the Burger King cups and stuff.
Oh, no.
Oh, I forgot about those, too, and I got some of them.
I got one of all of them.
Little Mandalorian Grogu.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Mandalorian and Grogu. Yeah.
Going down the rabbit hole.
This one's got Mandalorian and Grogu. It's hard to see. I left them in the plastic.
I left mine in the plastic, too.
Let's see. This one is... This one's just Grogu. It's hard to see through there, but you can see him right there.
Yeah.
I'll say, I'm actually excited about all the popcorn tins that are coming out, tins or whatever you want to call them.
One's got Zeb on it.
Nice.
See Zeb there.
Yeah, the AT-AT Walker popcorn tub that several theater companies have are actually going on sale now.
Are they?
Might not be any left by the time the movie comes out. 79.99.
I like that one, and I like the Mando helmet one, like that really chromed out Mando helmet. Yeah. Looks really cool. So
yeah, it does.
Yeah, they're gonna get me to buy stuff that I don't need.
I refuse to do the Happy Meal toys this time, though. I'm not doing any Happy Meal toys.
Sure.
Are they cool? If they're cool,
they do look kind of neat, but I'm not going to do it. I'm not going down that rabbit hole.
Who has them? Is it Burger King?
Burger King.
Yeah, it's Burger King.
Okay.
They got steamed meals and everything. And the garlic
Happy Meals.
Yeah, the garlic chicken finger fries are really good. I was impressed.
Okay. I may have to look.
Yeah.
Oh, you did? I liked them a lot.
I did not like the cheese things. I don't know. They weren't very good.
Oh, the cheese ranch tots? No. Because I thought they'd have potato inside them. It was just cheese and ranch.
Yeah.
Deep fried, basically. It was weird.
All right, well. Well, thanks again, Chris, for coming on. We appreciate you.
Yep, thank you.
And, thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks. It was great.
Well, we'll talk to everybody next month.
Yeah.
All right, bye, everybody.
Be with you.
All right, let's see. Let's hold on just a second.